RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Friday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with...
Thank God it's Friday, Val, and...
Beans! Happy Friday, Frank.
Yeah.
You know there's a countdown going on right now?
Oh, yeah?
Countdown to Sunday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, everybody's got their tickers. It's so funny. It's cute.
Oh, I'm counting down to Sunday, all right.
Yeah. So I have a couple different stories to tell. And just some honest reflection. I was going to spend some time on the podcast today talking about what happened to my friend Presley, who sadly passed away yesterday. And now I'm going to cry. So
I'm sorry to hear that.
It's terrifying and horrible. And I was going to spend a good amount of time talking about it because he wanted me to. He texted me, please use my story back when he was in the hospital off the ventilator because he was experiencing some, you know, abandonment feelings. You know what I mean? Like he said, they care for me, but they're not helping me. So they were basically supporting him, but they weren't helping him at all. And it's a horrible story. And it happens probably to so many families in America. But I just can't do it right now because I'm very sad.
Oh, yeah. Don't even try.
Yeah. So I'm going to do that. And it's going to be soon because he was very passionate about wanting people to know what they can do to avoid even being in the position he was in at all. And so we've been talking about that quite a bit. And it's so important. And I've been reading. This is some good news, guys. And Frank, this is some really amazing news. I have been reading study after study. I mean, studies, not like, and, you know, somebody was pointing out like these studies are written by the people that don't tell us the truth, but they're also written by the people that do. Right. So when you have a medical establishment that lies to people, but they're doing studies on certain things, they're just not publicizing them. You see,
right.
This nasal wash and gargle is like the numbers I'm seeing in eliminating virus from the nasopharynx, 99.9% effective, 98% effective, 97% effective, depending on which kind you use. Doing this in prevention seems to be, and it's so, there's no downside at all, zero downside to you at all to do this. Saline spray that I use, X-Lear. You can use a solution. Everybody, you know, on the FLCCC website, they say to dilute it with baby shampoo, Johnson's baby shampoo. They say there's a, you know, the cleaning action of Johnson's baby shampoo is actually killer for the COVID virus. And gargling with the mouthwashes with that chemical that I, or that chemical I can't pronounce that kills the germs. It's stopping.
Now, who did and which studies so were pointing to this?
You could just look up on the internet saline nasal wash and COVID and see them all. I pasted about, I don't know, 10 of them into the Dark to Light room. Vanderbilt University, PubMed, Science Direct, Science News, television stations. Listerine antiseptic was found to decrease infectious virus levels by 99.99%. And after 1 to 2 minutes, researchers were unable to detect any infectious virus left. It was found to be the most effective product, while other related oral rinses were effective, but just needed a little longer contact time to kill 99.99% of the virus.
And then I checked my Listerine last night and I realized that it had expired in 2019.
Just go get some new Listerine. I'm telling you, it's amazing. And so Helga came home on Tuesday. Was it Tuesday? What was yesterday? Wednesday? Yeah. First day of school, came home and said that she had, she had gone to school with the stuffy nose. And, you know, that's normal for us in the morning here because of allergies and stuff. It's like a pollen-y sort of area.
Yeah.
She came home and she's like, Mom, my friend was close to someone who was diagnosed with COVID. And now I have a stuffy nose and a headache. And so, of course, I was like, all right, it's probably just a cold, Viv. But then I started getting scared, right? Because that's what we're conditioned to do, is to terrify ourselves. So I went out and I got her the antigen test from CVS, which is super expensive, by the way. And it came back negative. Now, she was symptomatic. And in symptomatic people, these antigen tests are 98.9% effective. She does not have COVID. That's absolutely 100%. But we freak out. And so our whole family started immediately with the saline and the mouthwash. And I've been around this girl every single day. And guess who feels 100%?
Who?
Everyone.
You know, I tell you, your that whole anxiety that you just said there is true. I remember up until, I mean, I think everybody does, the moment that you feel that kind of heaviness in your head,
yep,
that you just know something's wrong, or a scratch in your throat, the first reaction used to be, oh, no, not this.
Yep.
How many days is this going to just make me feel like trash now? And that was bad enough, but at least the reaction was almost like,
it's a pain in the neck, right?
Yeah, why now? I had so much to do this week, and now I'm going to have to fight through this crap.
Now it's like, oh my God, am I going to die?
Yeah. And not even, am I going to die from whatever the hell might be creeping up on me? Am I going to have to go seek attention, and the people that are trying to help me can kill me?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. I have spent the past three or four days in a state of complete and total panic and anxiety. It was a mix between, you know, what is around us. It was a mix between my friends all getting sick. You know, Gigi and Ken got coronavirus. I knew a bunch of people down in Florida who had it. A bunch of people up here. A couple of my other friends got it. And they were just down for the count for a week. And then trying to help everybody and give them the protocol and try and instruct them on what I, you know, no, I'm not a doctor, but this is what I know. You know what I mean? Like, and the overwhelming flood of emails I have about this, Frank, I'm like, last night it finally just broke for me. I was like, fuck this. I can't live this way. Nobody should live this way. It's insanity.
And there's no end in sight.
We need to just stop it. We need to do what we can to keep ourselves healthy. That means keeping ourselves healthy before there's even a glimmer of thinking about a sickness through diet and exercise and sunlight and, you know, all the things we know. And, you know, you have your little bag on hand if you can of the things that you should be doing. You do your little nasal rinse 3 times a day and mouthwash 3 times a day. And that's it. I have a clip to play that speaks to this. It speaks to this so strongly.
The devil is overplaying his hand. What I mean by that is he's making himself more and more obvious in his activities in government, in his activities in the technocracy, in education, in the entertainment industry, and in culture, in the culture at large. I even believe, you don't have to believe this, but I believe it, but there's a demonic dimension to the pandemic. You know why I say that? Because I look at the fruit of the pandemic in the lives of people in our country and around the world. What is the most obvious fruit of the pandemic? I don't mean the people who get sick and die. What I'm talking about is something more widespread than that. There are many, many more people than those who get sick and die who are gripped with what? Fear, right? And fear is one of the primary strategies and tactics of the evil one, trying to keep people in fear, which is the antithesis of faith.
Fear is the mind killer.
It really is. And it does all kinds of things to your body. It makes you more susceptible to illness. It really does. Your mind,
fear is a negative. So pretty much the way that I always have been told and taught to break things down, to make things easy, because especially when you talk about human emotional spectrum and how it relates to the physiological health that you have and the reality that you can manifest through that, is to break everything down into fear and love based energies. You'll know both of them. I mean, there's an array of emotions in both categories, but they all feel the same. It's either uplifting or it's dejecting, and it's limiting, and it makes you feel like you want to just crawl into yourself. And with those feelings come biochemical responses inside the body, physical biochemical responses inside the body. You know, your glands just start producing hormones that are in line with either the fear or the elation that you're feeling about anything that's going on in your life. So negative thoughts and feelings literally create a negative biochemistry. And from there, you have immune system breakdowns. That's why colds last longer in depressed people than other people. It happens all the time. I mean, it becomes a stress on the body. If you have ever worked out vigorously, guys out there, or even the ladies, if you've been doing resistance training, hard resistance training for a long time, you know that you need to get a lot of rest and you need to have a lot of supporting nutrition, because just the physical stress of working out breaks down your immune system. You'd think that you would become a Superman or a woman, but it's the opposite sometimes, and you have to be able to regulate that. So stress, wherever it comes from, whether it be emotional or physical, has an immense impact and negative impact on the chain, and it breaks links in your chain. So to douse everybody in a year and a half of not just, you know, we're talking about life and death kinds of fear. Oh my God, it's horrible. I saw this video of this woman pleading for people not to take the vaccine because it just killed her daughter. And she's in grief. She said it just killed her. She took the shot yesterday, killed her 5 hours later. Please don't take it. But still, she's screaming this through this filthy, horrible mask. So it's just fear and grief and confusion, and it's completely debilitating to a species.
It really is. And you can tell, guys, because when you're scared, do you feel good?
No.
You're not supposed to feel that way every day. That's why you feel like it. That's the danger zone. That's like, oh God, this isn't right. I have to leave. Oh God, this isn't right. I'm not. You know what I mean? That's when you're in, you know, joy or love or, you know, happiness, you feel fantastic. Why do you think that is? Do you think your body is supposed to be, your soul is supposed to be in a constant state of fear? And I'm going to say this right now. I haven't helped any of you. Even though we need this information, we haven't done a good enough job of bringing some positivity to shit. We just haven't. And I realized that like late last night when I didn't get any sleep last night, barely any sleep. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, something's got to change. There's, you know, there are really positive things happening everywhere. And I want to go through some of them, Frank. Would you like to hear some?
Sure.
Okay. Let's take the COVID crisis and turn it into a net positive. How is that even possible? You know, I just lost a friend. People are losing loved ones everywhere. You know what it's doing? It is fundamentally changing healthcare in a good way. Because all of these doctors and nurses have said enough is enough. There's establishment medicine is not working. It is broken. People don't trust it. This isn't what I signed up for. It's got to change. Let's change it. And it's happening. It might be happening right now in little ripples across the country. But I'm telling you, when this is all said and done, I'm going to make a prediction, which I never do. In 2 to 3 years, the health landscape in this country is going to look completely different than what it looked like before this started. No longer are people going to be running to the doctor for pills to make them feel better. They're going to be running to a wellness center to figure out how to make themselves well so that they don't need the pills and they don't get sick. That's just what's going to end up happening. You know, we're going to have a number of people who have taken this vaccine who sadly, in my opinion, will end up very sick from it. And we're going to have to help them, and we're going to have to nurture them, and we're going to have to, try and salvage their bodies. The human body is an absolutely beautiful and amazing, amazing thing. And we have been crapping all over it for decades. That's all going to change.
Yep.
I really believe it.
It's going to have to, because the greatest way to keep yourself from interacting with, it's almost like with the cops. You know, how do you find a way to not have to interact with police at all? You know, how can you keep that far from your experience and only have to deal with this in emergency standpoints? And then even then, how do you control yourself in that situation that can go one way or another? And we just need to start reconnecting with actual health. Nobody really understands how their body works. By and large, nobody understands. Everybody's got to stop with the drinking, stop with the three cups of sugar in their diets every day. Yep. Stop with the smoking. Yep. Stop with, I mean, everybody's got to stop and learn what nutraceuticals the body needs. It doesn't mean you're going to live to be 500 years old, but for the time that you are on this earth, there's got to be some kind of better level of functioning that's going on there. There's got to be physical activity in your life that is not just standing up from your work seat, walking to the kitchen and getting yourself a glass of water, standing back down on the water. You have to stretch. Even if you're just stretching every day, man, oh man, it's so important. That is 90% of healthcare. And we don't talk about any of it. Everything is symptom management. Once our health has gotten out of control.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's spiritual too. It's spiritual too.
Well, the spiritual aspect is what keeps keeps that body biochemistry. It can help support that healthy biochemistry by having positive outlooks on life and the hereafter. That's huge. Now, some people can do that without religion. Other people, it's part of their family traditions and they connect with it and it's for them. But whatever the hell it is, the spirit has got to be nurtured. And we aren't just biocomputers that shut down and we came from nowhere and from into nowhere we go again. So we're plugged into something larger than ourselves, and people need to start getting outside of the confines of this very limited human body to grab a sense of wonder in something again. We don't. People are not wondrous about anything anymore.
No, they're not. And it's hard to be when everything around you is falling to crap, your country.
Exactly. That's the driving force behind the propaganda. I did a show on Wednesday night. I came back around to doing a show on the concepts of psychological operations and because PSYOPs were really developed big time during Vietnam. And the same people who did that during Vietnam created a counterpart to it in the new millennium called Mind War. And that, of course, was the ability of targeting a population that you wanted to destroy and make them and convince them that fighting a war was not only useless, but you wanted to be able to convince them and slowly merge their will with the will of your own so that there's never a conflict to begin with. And a lot of that has to do with subversion of culture, subversion of everything, and taking away those foundations. We are getting it from all ends, which is why finding these nice, positive, hopeful things to latch on to is the best way that we can deny them what they've been looking for.
Yeah. And there's, you know, sometimes I just sit and I look at my family and they're laughing and they're joking around with each other. And I'm like, you know what? This is freaking beautiful. This is what life is all about. This is it right here. At this kitchen table with, you know, so-and-so with food hanging off their mouth and everybody laughs at them. And, you know, whatever story from the day that someone has about school or, you know, it's beautiful. It's beautiful stuff. The little tiny things, you know, the little things in life, the little glimmers, the little, fits of laughter. It's just awesome. It really is. And there's a lot of that going around. And now, you know, of course, the podcast is going to shift to Joe Biden leaving Americans stranded in Afghanistan. But hey.
But hey, if you got $2,000, you can get out.
That is, to me, like, everybody's got to see this, Frank. How do you not see it?
The best thing is, if you don't have $2,000, you can get a government-backed loan. And you can't have your passport renewed unless you pay the loan back. You know, and as I said, we have a federal illegal alien relocation operation going on all over the country, but it was just uncovered over here at Westchester Airport. They've been trying to hide that it's been going on every night for weeks, and it kind of frothed over on Sunday and Monday.
Wow.
And the best thing is that our current county executive, George Latimer, tried ignoring it at first, denied it for 48 hours, and just said that, oh, he's looking into the air the increased air traffic because it's a violation of the noise pollution curfew. And then he had to finally, with help of local media, had to finally admit, oh, yes, there is a they're doing reunification in Westchester Airport. But all the migrants are not being released into Westchester County. They don't say where they're going. And the best thing is that they're taking teenagers from the southern border and they're flying them into Westchester Airport to be reunited with their non-citizen family members and guardians.
So they're really corralling them all there and just letting them stay.
Well, I mean, they say it's not going to be in Westchester, but where's it going to go? Rockland?
Yeah. Putnam? Yeah.
You know, does it even really matter? The fact is that you're giving non-citizens from the border that you have left wide open, these people that say that we're fighting wars for national security and that they care so much about pandemics and everybody's safety. They have the border wide open, hundreds of thousands of people coming through, and they're spending money on trips, round trips from the border and sometimes south of the border. They actually take them from Honduras and Mexico and elsewhere, and they bring them to thousands of miles inland to be reunited with other non-citizens. Meanwhile, if you went to work for the American government out in Afghanistan for 20 years, and now you're stranded there, you got to pay $2,000 to get out.
I can't.
And that's just a hyper-local example. That's probably happening in every airport around the country right now.
I can't even. It's just insane. It's crazy. It's crazy. Like, how does this even make any sense at all? Like, what the hell?
It makes sense if you're in business. This is not just chaos. Chaos is a tool in this thing here, but a business is being run, Tracy. A giant global business is being run, and you got to crack a few eggs to make an omelet.
This is what I think. Want to hear?
Yeah.
Into the thick of it. Into the thick of it. Into the thick of it.
Ugh. I'm gonna play that as everybody walks into the house on Sunday.
Oh, just what, on the loop?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes.
Was everybody gonna walk in two by two?
Yes.
Ceremony?
Yes.
Are they gonna be holding candles?
No, they're gonna be holding like bottles of alcohol.
That's it. And disinfectant.
And disinfectant. And freaking...
Everybody walking in with scuba gear on, breathing through tanks on their back.
Hold on.
We're tramping through the bush. On it all we push.
See?
Into the thick of it.
Yeah.
I love it. I can't... I don't know why. It's the
first. Oh, you're such a girl.
I just, speaking of which, my mom got a little gift for you and Aurora and Lauren.
What?
Yeah. So cute.
Oh my gosh.
She had to show it to me yesterday. It's adorable. I can't wait.
Well, I can't wait. It'll be fun.
She's like, what day is Frank getting here?
I will be crawling in sometime late Sunday afternoon, I'm sure.
I'm just in one of those moods. I don't want to talk about any of this bad news. What can we talk about? Can we tell stories from our childhood?
Sure. Where you want to go?
Tell me a funny story about Christmas, Frank.
I don't know. I have a funny story about Christmas.
I have a funny UFO story. I'll tell you while you wait.
I mean, I don't know. Christmas was weird. It was always so magical, but it was always so volatile as well. I remember one Christmas. I don't know where the footage is. But
the fact that you even have footage.
Oh, it just footage for everything. Everything. I have my entire life in every year of my childhood. There's multiple VHS tapes. There's 1991 part 1, 2, and 3. Everything. We have VHS, and I got them all converted to digital last year, too. So my entire life is now in a library. And so if I ever wanted to make a documentary about absolutely nothing, I could do it. But, okay, so it might have been Christmas 96 or 95, 97, around there. And we were getting presents. And me and my brother, we got two CDs that were given to us. And I was given Nirvana, In Utero. And Anthony was given Metallica, Kill 'Em All. And I guess I, I really wanted to kill them all more so than the Nirvana. And I don't know how it actually happened. I probably called him a poser or something like that. And they one clip with the family video was just us opening up presents. And then somebody stopped recording. And then the next time somebody started recording again, we were already entangled in each other on the floor, strangling each other. And nobody can stop us. But somebody said, you know, just film it at least. This is ridiculous. And it's just always what happened. It would be in a flash. My brother and I would be on the floor strangling each other because we never punched each other in the face. You would get really hard punches in the shoulder, the chest, things like that. We never touch each other's face, but we did strangle each other a lot.
I can just picture
Christmas morning, 96.
When I was younger, I had a couple different things. Me and my sister would play this game called the kicking game. We would lay with our feet facing one another, so like foot to foot, and then just like kick and try to pin our legs against the side of the couch and just like beat the living daylights out of each other like that. And it was fun for us.
That sounded fun.
I also used to get infuriated when she would beat me in Dr. Mario. Infuriated. But
I remember Dr. Mario.
Here's my UFO story. So one day I was upstairs in my bedroom and I look out the window and there were trees, you know, out the window. And between the trees, I see this bright saucer-like object. And I look at it and then I look back and it's still there. And I was probably like 15 or 16, maybe a little younger. And I go running downstairs and I tell my dad there is a UFO outside. He comes running up the stairs, looks out the window, looks at it three or four times and says, "Holy crap." Runs downstairs. We run outside. We look at it again. We're like, "Holy crap." Nobody could believe what they were seeing. All the neighbors were outside. We wanted to track it down. So we jump in the car, all of us. We drive, just like all those abduction stories start, you know?
Yeah.
We drive around the corner. I forget who it was. Someone called the police to tell them. We drive around. Finally, it moves out into the clearing. And this is when they first started doing this. It was the Goodyear blimp lit up.
It was the first time that they lit up the blimp.
Yes. And everybody, the calls, it was in the news. Everybody freaked out. Everybody. And this was back in the 90s. Everyone freaked out.
You see, this is what I was talking about. I'm not a Star Trek fan, but I know all about the prime directive in Star Trek for Starfleet. And that is to not interfere with a primitive species or developing civilization, let them go through their trials and their tribulations and grow up without any outside interference, because there's so many ways that you can do that. And your story reminds me of that, because one of the things I wanted to bring up to complement that conversation was the drone display that was used at the Olympics this year. They had 10,000 drones that were perfectly coordinated and programmed to do these amazing types of displays midair,
yep,
where they formed the Earth and all the continents on the Earth. And then they broke apart and they came together for us. And it's so incredible in what they're able to do just with these 10,000 tiny little drones. And I said to myself, if this happened 50 years ago, if somebody saw this 50 years ago, the world would freeze. I mean, everything that they said would have happened on October 30th, 1938, with the War of the Worlds, would be nothing compared to something like this. And it's really one of those things, because it's so easy. It's so easy. You'd have to imagine if everybody says, "Oh, if they ever staged an alien invasion, that would be so funny." I mean, we've seen it all already. We already know the limits of CGI and this and that. Do we really? I mean, really, do we? Because at the same time, don't we all have those conversations where we kind of all agree, regardless of where your position on things are, that whatever we're fiddling with in the consumer grade area is probably advanced by at least 100 years somewhere else?
Yeah.
Somewhere in a bunker somewhere. And
yep,
think about what we have done in just the last 60 years of a manned flight. Just the last 60 years, 100 years. What have we seen as far as changes in society technologically? What the hell does another 100 years look like? So you talk about that, how what kind of hysteria that could have created for a small New York neighborhood when the Goodyear blimp just started putting LEDs on the side.
It wasn't even LEDs. It was like, God knows what kind of, it was crazy though. I wonder if I can find the article. I don't know. I'll find it. I will try to find it because it was all over the news. They were like on News 12. They were like,
hello. In news tonight, a Goodyear blimp fooled no local residents. Like,
I don't have any good other story. I have plenty of stories from when I was a kid. Oh my God.
Indeed.
There were characters we used to, I have all my home movies too. And in some of them we used to, did you ever hear the game Tabloid Teasers?
Yes.
Okay. So we used to take the cards from Tabloid Teasers and we used to make them headlines for real news. And we used to sit behind like desks and like film ourselves doing a news broadcast with the fake headlines as real news.
That's great.
I was like 14, 15 years old. Just imagine how far I've come to what I'm doing today. And then I was talking about Bill Clinton back then and Hillary Clinton.
I had a show. Here's the crazy thing is one night I did show and tell on my show, maybe back in 2018 or 19. And I got to start doing that a little bit more. And what I brought in were a few of my father's father's letters home from the Italian front. And it was after the invasion of Sicily. He started off in North Africa and now he's in Italy. And the letters home, yes, some of them are, hey, why isn't anybody writing home? Come on already. Talking about the things that are eating, the chocolate cake that they got and stuff like that. But also that he was preparing scripts for his new radio show. And he has all these ideas for the radio he wants to do. And he's writing scripts. And, you know, he was a stage guy. My grandfather as well, director. And we very theatrical on that side of the family. And I'm looking at that, reading this about all of his aspirations in radio. And here we are doing this. And all throughout my childhood, before I even knew about those letters, too, I was making radio shows on my Citizens Band transceiver over here. I had a I know it's not legal to do what I did, but I would just hold down the receiver and I did a radio show on some random channel that nobody was on. And I would keep doing that stuff. And I just once the opportunity to do it in college popped up, I did it. And then I moved the operation home in 2006 and have not stopped.
Here we are. Yeah, it's amazing. It really is. Like I love that. And it's funny because like just looking back, like I never would have thought that this is what I mean. I don't know. I thought it would be a lawyer or a singer or something. But here we are.
You know, the other crazy thing about my grandfather is we have the same exact signature.
Do you really?
My friend Lauren, she got in touch with me once and her grandmother's name was Gussie.
Oh, and that's a nice name.
She sent me a picture. She said, hey, listen, is this your grandfather? She sent me a picture of an inscription in what I guess was almost like a yearbook from back in the 1930s or whatever, when they were all graduating from high school, late 30s. And in the yearbook, it was this nice short little note. Hey, Gus, blah, blah, blah. And I forgot what the actual inscription was, but it's signed Frank Valburo. And when I said, oh, my God. I said, yeah, no, that's my grandfather, but that's my signature as well.
Oh, wow.
With the reversed F, everything. And so it would kind of freak me out to know that he was writing radio in World War II out in Europe. And we have the same signature. And I don't know. It's and I always felt like I was my father's father, to be honest, more often than not, like I was the father and he was the child.
Places.
Yeah, no, yeah, there's always been that kind of a weird thing going on. But weird stuff, I gotta say.
You know,
very odd.
It's cool. It's cool though. That kind of stuff is cool. It really is. And just in, Frank.
Yeah.
Moderna stock falls pre-market on reports of US probe into COVID-19 vaccine for higher heart inflammation risk among young adults.
Oh yeah. You think that this stuff would probe, would fall. You know, can you explain something to me? I know that we're talking about booster shots now, and they're saying that the effectiveness of Pfizer is dropping. And yeah, heart and brain inflammation and all this other stuff is going on. But just as far as not, as being able to keep the timelines correct, wasn't the initial fear about the technology that was being injected into people was that they were going to be producing these spike proteins forever?
They didn't know how long.
They didn't know how long.
They never knew how long.
I kept hearing this is going to be lifetime protection, and now we see that it's less than 50%.
Well, look, a couple different things on that, okay? So number one, they didn't know how long the cells would continue to produce the spike protein. That was something that was not known. And I still don't think we really know. We know that the protection, the antibody protection to it is not effective against the COVID-19 variant that is out there right now because it's because the virus mutated to avoid it. Okay, so the mutation Delta came from the vaccination program in India. That's where the mutation Delta came from. So the rest of the world is getting that vaccine. The mutated virus from India traveled around the rest of the world and can infect people with the vaccines because of that. So they're saying antibody protection is waning because I guess they're learning. Either they're lying to you and saying that this antibody should be able to protect against any variant and the antibody protection is waning over time, i.e. your body isn't as able to fend off whatever COVID virus you get after 6 or 8 months because the antibody protection wanes, which doesn't happen usually in with T-cell and robust immunity not induced from vaccine, by the way. But the biggest problem with the vaccine was always the injury from the actual spike protein and how your body reacts to it. It sends your body into a tizzy. That's what the autoimmune disease comes from and everything else. As a matter of fact, the prime minister of Italy has Bell's palsy right now.
You gotta be kidding me.
It's dead serious. It just came out today. Like, people saw him on a press conference. I'm sorry, Australian minister Victor Dominello diagnosed with Bell's palsy after viewers spot drooping eye in press conference.
Providing great services.
They show the press conference where people saw it. They started calling his office saying he might be having a stroke. Get medical attention for him right away. Some people thought I was winking. Some people thought I had a stroke, he wrote on social media. The minister said the calls prompted him to seek help, having previously experienced a pain in my skull behind my right ear and pins and needles on the right side of my tongue.
Yep. Yep. That's the pre-Bell's palsy ear pain that I always hear about. Oh, God. God forbid.
Don't get the vaccine.
I've had people in my life get Bell's palsy all throughout. There's a kid in my high school class that got Bell's palsy.
It's not rare. It's not the rarest of things. It happens to people. It's caused by a virus.
Yeah.
And if your body can't keep whatever that virus is under control, that's what happens. And it's recoverable. People recover from it.
Yeah. It takes some time, but it's just, I hate to see it.
Yeah, it's horrible. It's not fun. Some people are sadly afflicted with unable to close their eye. Some people can't open it. You know, it's really sad. Which is what I didn't want to talk about today. Sad thing.
Right.
Because we're all happy and excited and upbeat and uplifted. Right?
Yes, I'm very lifted.
Be lifted. Be lifted. I repeated that for no reason. You know what else is coming?
What?
The audit report, baby.
Oh, isn't it today?
Yes.
I saw Jovan Pulitzer making headlines yesterday that there was going to be earth-shattering things released on Friday, which is today.
Yeah, today is Friday. Oh, wow. This is interesting. Breaking. Maricopa County responds to Attorney General's office, requests no further action be taken.
Maricopa County requests what? Repeat that.
Maricopa County.
Yeah.
Response to Attorney General's office requests no further action be taken, i.e. they're saying, please don't come after us. It says, on behalf of the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors, we respond to your letter dated August 6th regarding Senator Sonny Borelli's request for investigation as to the alleged failure to comply with valid and enforceable legislative subpoenas that originated from the Senate. Specifically, he claims that we are acting in conflict with whatever statute by failing to produce certain documents and electronic materials requested in a legislative subpoena. The allegations in the request are without merit. The Senate's authority to enforce the subpoena through its statutory contempt powers expired June 30th with the adjournment of the legislative session. Accordingly, any action taken by the Board of Supervisors in relation to the subpoena did not violate state law or the Constitution of Arizona, and we respectfully ask that your office take no further action regarding the request. And it keeps going. There's a whole long thing here.
So they're just pretty much saying, please don't. No, don't.
They're saying, no, screw you. We're not doing anything that we want, that you want us to do. And yeah.
Well, wow.
And now they're sending ballots out in California with the crease line through the Republican candidates.
So I guess we got to keep an eye out today then.
Yeah.
Keep an eye out today. Should be funsy.
Yeah. I'm looking for anything about this in his Telegram and I don't see anything.
Oh, well, like I said, I saw it on the Gateway Pundit.
When? Yesterday?
Yeah.
Let's see if I can find it.
I want to find it, Frank.
100%.
Gateway Pundit. Let's see. More audit the vote rally scheduled in Greenville, North Carolina. Whistleblower provides photos of horror at PETA. Oh, CNN reporter who said the Taliban seemed friendly gets chased by armed Taliban. Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau spoke with Hillary Clinton about Afghanistan.
Oh, yeah. What kind of advice did he get there?
I don't know. She I would think she'd be more focused on Haiti. That's kind of her cash cow.
I know. You would think.
I wonder what we can mock on Drudge Report.
What's up to... Oh, let me see. Hold on. Let's see what's there.
30% of new Los Angeles cases vaxxed. Lambda variant on the way.
At this point, you would think, well, once again, if there were any kind of common sense, you would think that there would just be a overall reporting on everything, since it's obvious now that there is no difference between vaxxed and unvaxxed.
Yeah, yeah.
And if it is, it's about, you know, who has a better chance of standing up to new variants or whatever. What's this Lambda variant on the way? Like it's Santa Claus in the sleigh.
I know, but except it's in red.
I know. It's on the way. You know what I really miss? I miss hurricanes.
Me too. There's two of them out right now. If you want to go swimming right now here, woo!
Hurricane. You know, up here we get the nor'easters and some blizzards.
Wouldn't that be
as
sad as that
sounds? Oh, yeah. Winter storm Greta is on the way. Everybody goes to the food emporium. You pick up some Toll House cookie dough. You pick up some milk. You pick up some wood for the fireplace or something like that. And everybody hunkers down for about 36 hours. And then you got to go outside and shovel it all and it's behind you. And it's, you know, you got the anticipatory anxiety of a big storm coming in and then it's gone. And now it's the Lambda variant is on the way. And it's just one more link in a chain that it seems to be endless.
You know what's crazy? I was just saying the other day, like, please no hurricanes because they're not done with my house and my stuff. And then there were two churning right off the coast. They're right off the coast. They're 300 miles off the coast of South Carolina right now. Look at it. National Hurricane Center.
So what's the weather going to be like next week?
Well, we don't want to talk about that.
Because I've checked a couple of times and didn't look too fun.
Look, it's the way it is in Florida.
Okay.
It looks like there's like look, Henry expected to strengthen and the path of it is like literally hitting Long Island. There you go. Be careful what you wish for, Frank.
Careful what you
go
wish.
Go to weather.com and look. At what comes up on the front page.
This is just sick.
Look at it.
Let me see here. Weather.com. Today. Damn.
You see?
What's this thing called?
Henry.
And when's it going to hit? That's now. Oh, it's coming our way.
You'll be here.
Well, it's very, right now it's very gray outside.
All eyes were on the northeast.
But I see that long band coming up. North Carolina looks like it's getting beat up.
Let's see what the 10-day forecast is here.
10-day forecast.
Monday, scattered thunderstorms. Tuesday, scattered thunderstorms. Wednesday, scattered thunderstorms. Friday, yes. Thursday, isolated right. thunderstorms. That's the everyday forecast here in the summer.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't accept it.
Sorry.
That's unacceptable.
Well, I'm sorry. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. Yell at God. I don't know.
At least, whatever.
The waxing gibbous is here. I mean, what do you want to do?
Well, I've got a pretty remarkable place to stay anyway, so I'm sure there's going to be plenty of amenities.
It's going to be fine. 49% chance of rain. Did you know I just learned the other day what that actually means?
What?
That 49% of the area will see rain.
That's what it means?
Not that there's a 49% chance that it may rain. Did that blow your mind? Because it blew mine.
No, I don't get it.
I.e., if you're doing a forecast for, I don't know, Nassau County, and it says 50% chance of rain, it means that 50% chance of Nassau, 50% of Nassau County will see rain at some point. Not that there's a 50% chance it could rain.
Well,
so
okay.
If there's
Too bad. Never. It seems so great to be a weatherman. Always has been. You get to speak and you have your own kind of language that is noncommittal.
Yeah.
It's noncommittal language. And now you got all these great weather tools. Just read a map.
You know, honestly, it really has been a joke that I've been saying over the past like week. I posted in my Telegram room the other day. Is there anybody left that doesn't speak in riddles all the time? Doesn't it feel like everybody's speaking in riddles all the time?
Yeah, it does. Because it feels like, I don't know, everybody just wants to avoid
being wrong.
Yeah. Looking bad.
Yeah.
Everything is, there's so much vanity.
Yes.
So much vanity tied to the most stupid things.
If I don't know something for sure, I'll either say, I'm not positive about this, but, or don't say anything at all. It's much better to just remain silent sometimes when you just don't know. Like, why does anybody need to know my opinion on something that I really don't have all the information to even form an opinion on?
Yep.
Right?
Right.
If you want a really good website to track hurricanes, I would go to tropicaltidbits.com. It is the website of a graduate student who I believe graduated now of a doctor in I forget what his... Like, he's a doctorate in some sort of weather function.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to disparage him because he's a genius. His name is Levi. And he has been running this website on the tropics for years throughout his schooling. And he gives his own forecasts and stuff. But he's always spot on. And this website is amazing. It gives you all the models. If you go to tropicaltidbits.com, you can see it. It gives you every little drop down. You can run your own GIFs or GIFs. You can run the forecasts the same way the weather people do. You can see all the tropical systems out there. Do you see it?
I have, yeah. Well, I have, I have a couple of friends that work in local DPW, and they have some pretty good weather information too. So I usually just text them.
Yeah. And you know that that's the best way to do it. But the Navy model you'd think would be the best. And it's never right.
What do you mean? The U.S. Navy?
Yeah, they have a Navy weather forecasting model that they put out. It's called NavGem. You'd think it'd be right. It's never right, ever. It's never right. So, just saying. It's pretty cool, this website, if you wanted to know. And the other one is called, the other one that you get a little bit less of a scientific view is called SpaghettiModels.com. It's Mike's weather page.
It's all spaghetti models.
It's not all spaghetti models. It's just what he ended up calling it. And Mike is in Florida, and he's been doing like hurricane stuff for years.
Wow.
Anyway.
Okay. Well, but now we got a couple of the places to go to.
Yeah. And it's never good when a hurricane hits Suffolk County the way it's looking like this one's going to. I'm just saying. The last one that did this was Sandy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And that was what, 2011, 10?
Yeah.
God, it all goes by so fast.
That was crazy. I was working in Freeport almost working in Freeport at the time. And I was the only house in my neighborhood that didn't lose power throughout that hurricane. I lost a lot of trees. We had flooding everywhere. It was crazy on Long Island during that. Absolutely insane. But I let everybody come over and have coffee and shower and stuff.
That's good. That's good.
We're done. That's it.
I remember a lot of blackouts because of the winter weather.
Yes.
And I had to, man, those are horrible, especially those showers.
Because it's freezing.
Oh, yeah. Those showers are bad. Yep. Rather have you having to have a blackout, have it in the summertime.
Yeah. Well.
As much as that sucks, too, because I remember that in 2003.
You can't stay cool.
Or what was it? That was 2003 or 2000 in here in New York. Were you already gone?
Which one?
The blackout in 2003.
Oh, no. That I was there for that. It was okay. Almost right after 9/11.
Yeah, that's why everybody was thinking, oh, my God, is it happening again?
Yeah, I was on the Brooklyn Bridge when that happened. It was terrifying. And you know what the funny thing is before we go? I was driving home from work with my friend and he was in the car and I was like, there's a power outage. It's a blackout. We were going into the city at the time.
Right.
And I'm like, there's a huge blackout. And my friend looks out in the water. He's like, the boats have lights. I'm like, are you serious right now?
The boats have lights.
I said, Mr. I'm not going to say his name. I'm like, are you serious right now?
Get it. Always comes to be.
The boats? What are they connected to the power grid? You're freaking moron.
I know. Well, that's just like a friend's mother. It was just a famous thing that happened to her. We were around her when she had, or no. This was something else. But yeah, she was told, hey, listen, it's going to rain tonight. You better take the clothes on the clothesline off the line. It's going to rain. And she said, without even thinking, maybe, hey, sometimes we do this. I can't imagine that this is really for real. But she says, it doesn't rain at night. Like, oh, boy. Wow. Oh, boy. Yeah. You know, sometimes you just say things without thinking. I'm sure some people go that far, but.
It's like the debate I had with my one friend one time. He was like, this is a wet rain. And I said, well, what other kind of frickin' rain is there? No, but this is a wet rain. This was one of the days that I was at Shea and it was sunny. This happened to us so much. It was sunny everywhere. There was just a system of clouds right over Shea Stadium. Everywhere around it was blue skies. Wasn't the first time that happened to the Mets in my presence, to be honest.
Well,
one time it was raining so hard at Shea Stadium that it flooded right before Citi Field went up.
I've only been to Shea twice.
Well, you didn't really miss much, to be honest.
In 2000, there was a lot to watch.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We went to, we never had season tickets. We went to so many games. We were friends with the scalpers.
That's great.
Yeah. They used to give us whatever they had left over at the end. We got some really good seats that way. We were young and hot, too, so that didn't hurt.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right.
Let us in. We're hot.
We were really hot when we were younger. I don't know what happened. Okay. So Monday show will be on location from the Dark to Light extravaganza. Buckle up.
Oh, my God.
Yes. So you have been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with...
Thank God it's Friday, Val, and...
Beans! You can find us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and RadioInfluence.com. Until Monday!
Later.
I'm Jerry P. Tuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out RadioInfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, radioinfluence.com.